We are going to continue on a little bit about this train of thought that we've been on. It started last week. Are we living in the last days or the lost days? And we're going to explore that just a little bit farther today. Have you ever felt, you know, in your heart or your mind that you're just kind of going, you know, maybe through life and you kind of are aimless and maybe a little bit without purpose? And if you feel that way, you're not alone. There's a lot of people that struggle from time to time with that same feeling. And many people sometimes, as they go through the stages of life, sometimes they feel just a little bit lost. And I believe in my heart that, you know, I don't like to blame the devil for everything, but I do blame him for a lot of things. And I believe that a lot of this is a demonic attack that has been released upon God's people as we live, you know, in the last days, maybe even the last of the last days. And I really know what I've learned over the years of being a Christian is that, you know, Satan knows that through distraction, he can bring destruction to our lives. Because when we're distracted, we can't really tell exactly what's going on around us because we're in a chaotic state, and we can't really focus on what's really real and what the priorities are. Things that maybe we set out to do in the beginning, but then along the process of time, due to the things that's going on around us, it messes us up. Now, last week we looked at the idea how many will be misled. You know, ever since I've been saved, you know, like I said, for about 30 years, you know, it talks about, heard people mention about the last days, what's going to happen, and everything going to, you know, take place. And we looked at last week about the idea of being misled and that a half-truth is even more dangerous than an outright lie. Because a half-truth has enough truth in it that it keeps us hooked, and then it reels us in like a fish. Now, an outright lie, we can tell that. Like if Satan come up here and he was dressed in those devil pictures that we know, you know what I mean, with a pitchfork and horns and, you know, everything else, you'd say, yeah, that's the devil. But he doesn't come at us like that. He comes as an angel of light many times. And he tries to, you know, get us kind of confused and, you know, maybe looking at it in the wrong way. Then we looked at also the idea of wars and rumors of wars. We looked at an article that I had read that about the fact that the world is less peaceful in the last 8 years than it has been for a long time. So maybe it's some of those birth pangs are taking place that it talks about in Scripture. And how, you know, a woman getting ready to give birth, you know, sometimes the contractions come, you know, at a slower pace. You don't get too concerned. But, you know, when they get to be about a minute apart, how many know you better get to where you're going or get some sort of plan? Because there's something going to happen. And really, there's a lot of birth pangs that have been going on in the earth. Then we looked at the idea of nation against nation it talks about. Well, that Greek word nation is the Greek word ethnos. And it's talking about people or race. And we can see just how the racial divide is even worse now than it has been for a long time between many ethnic groups. Not just in the United States, but all around the world. All these things just seem like they're escalating to some degree. And we looked at, finally, last week, what should our response be? And I kind of came against the notion that some people, as Christians, what they do is when they think we're living in the last days, they just throw their hands up. It's in God's control. And it's just going to happen. But see, I challenge that thinking because I still say our response is reconciliation. God has given the church the ministry of reconciliation, and we are to do that until He comes again. So no matter how bad it gets out there, I believe that we are still supposed to be involved in winning souls and bringing people back into the kingdom and not just say it's over, because that'll get us in trouble. The scripture I want to start with today is part of what we looked at last week. I want to look at Matthew 24, verses 10 to 13, and it says, at that time, Many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for supernatural unction today. Lord, I pray right now for your anointing to be here, Lord, stirring up gifts and helping us to retain information. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you are the supernatural teacher, just revealing things to us. I pray for those who may be struggling in their walk and in their faith. I thank you for words of life just to pierce and penetrate. And I thank you for deliverance to take place. And Lord, we thank you for all these things. I yield to that gift, Lord, and then I want to use it for your glory. I bind you, Satan, from trying to steal it out of our lives in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, been a Christian for about 30 years, a little over. What I consider, you know, as a kid, I knew about Jesus, prayed to him every night. But many of you know my testimony. I won't go into it. When I was 24 years old, around in there, I started really seeking after God, and I wanted to know the truth. And so then through a process of seeking and after 6 months or better going to church, I finally yielded my life to Christ. Well, ever since then, I've heard about a falling away. Many of you have probably heard that. It's going to be a great falling away. And there must be something to it. And how people interpret that in their own lives, you know, is up to you. Sometimes, you know, people's, you know, look at it from different angles. But primarily, we're just going to look at it from what the Greek word says today about falling away. Now, the Greek word for fall there is talking about the Greek word scandalon. I believe we looked at it several months ago a little bit. The Greek word scandalon. Now, the word scandalon there means to cause to stumble or to give offense. And I believe in my heart is that Satan is the author of a house divided. Now, I know, you know, we've had a recent thing with the Hawkeye Cyclone thing. Jason was a part of that, you know, and that's kind of a marketing thing, a house divided, you know, whether you're a Cyclone fan or a Hawkeye fan. But what this is talking about here is the degree how Satan tries to come in and bring division between people who are supposed to be connected to each other. And how that happens from time to time is the idea of how people can get offended and stumble for whatever way, shape, or form that comes in there. And that's what the enemy tries to do. And we're going to break this down a little bit because I believe that the devil causes us sometimes to hear things wrong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He causes us to hear things wrong. And that's really what causes an offense a lot of times. Now, granted, I know some people can be downright rude, and that's true. But I do believe that a lot of times what happens is that with a falling away is the idea of, you know, the concept that, you know, people misunderstand each other. And that's what causes many of the issues that we have in life. Now, As the enemy comes in, he wants to keep our focus on what's wrong instead of what's right. And I've never witnessed that as much as I have in the last year of my whole life, is all the things how the enemy does that. You know, remember we looked at the idea of nation against nation or ethnic group against ethnic group. Today, what's going on around the United States, and I'm just primarily talking with our country, is that we know that we have a few cops that might be bad apples, but that causes people to think that all policemen are bad. And so that's their train of thought. Well, then we might see a few black people riding in the streets and breaking into places, and we think, well, all black people are like that. Or maybe we think that, you know, maybe some, just a few white people are racist, and they make racist comments, so then we lump all white people into that group. And see, that's what is happening in our culture today. We start to see what's wrong all the time instead of really what's right. And when we go down that train of thought, we're going to get our nose out of joint. Because you can get offended really easy if you're looking for it. It all depends on in life of what we're really looking for. And that's how that the enemy works. Now, I believe one of the greatest dividers that the devil uses is the media. And I'm a firm believer of that. Because division sells news. Now, every now and then, they'll throw us a bone and give us a feel-good story. You know. But primarily, what happens is the fact that they try to stir up all these different things, and they get us divided, so we have to tune in to see what's making us mad next. You know what I mean? And it's a sad state of affairs, because when that takes control of our life, it gets us off balance, and then we kind of lose touch of really what's really God wants us to kind of stay with. Now, you know, all these offenses that happen can cause people to lose hope, both in God and humanity. And back about the media, I mean, I remember one time, I thought of this today, you know, most people know us and Iranians don't really see eye to eye on a lot of things, right? I mean, I think that's not unscripted, we know that. Well, they show the Iranians sometimes, you know, it looks like a mob taking the American flag and stomping on it and burning it. Well, then one time they've viewed back, there's only like 50 people. But they zoomed in on it, made it look like a mass crowd to get us to think that. Now, I will tell you this, I don't believe all Iranian people hate Americans, and I don't think all Americans hate Iranian people. But see, that's what's been portrayed. I know there's a lot of Iranian people want freedom. They want to change their government, but they can't. You know, so, but see, that's the division. The media tells us what we're supposed to think. And I believe that Satan is behind that because he knows how to do it. And I think the church has kind of lagged behind sometimes in the area of being able to use media for good things. So what else kind of happens after we lose humanity? I want to look at the idea of betrayal. Betrayal. And I believe a lot of us know what betrayal is all about. Matter of fact, our Lord Jesus Christ went through betrayal. Now, the word betrayal is talking about to be disloyal or to aid the enemy. And I really feel that, you know, loyalty is one of the things that's somewhat hard to find today. Because people can change and jump ship just so quick and get on another boat and chase after something else. It's just, they just go where it feels the best. Wherever they get the best thing. And to me, it talks about, you know, are we living in the last days or the lost days? Is Jesus really coming soon, or are we just messed up? You know, and that's a valid question. Are we lost? Have we changed our focus? Are we looking at the wrong thing? Now, to me, the hardest thing that I've had to deal with, and, you know, there's been a few things, but betrayal. Betrayal probably hurts the worst. When somebody you thought was your friend, somebody you took into your inner circle, and they stab you in the back, and they work for the enemy. And see, that's something that's happened, it says here, in the last days. In the last days, these things are going to increase. And when that happens, then, you know, what I think somewhat leads to disloyalty is when we change our focus and we think about what's in it for me instead of what's in it for we. Because if we're living our life for self, then we're not going to be loyal to any other thing but ourself. And we need to be bigger than that. And we need to be better than that. We need to allow the Spirit of God to come in our life and to be able to follow us and as we follow Him and work through us so that we can start to change a lost and dying world. And we need to be faithful to His cause and to all the things that He's called the church to do. Now, I think one thing also that causes that more than even, you know, when we start to kind of think about what's in it for me, I think one of the things that we do wrong is that we allow ourselves to get isolated. Isolated. Because that's another tool of division. See, I'm just trying to explain some of the things that are happening in the last days or the lost days of what's really going on around us. And these are things that we can fall victim to because maybe we get isolated, we isolate ourselves. We don't want to enter in. We try to pull away. And when we pull away and get by ourselves, then we start to get into trouble. Because when we're isolated, our mind starts to wander. Maybe yours don't, mine does. You know, and if your mind gets to wandering, then the most dangerous thing is an unrenewed mind when it gets to wandering. If we don't get it, see, that's the key to success of living in success in the last days, is to renew our minds so that we understand things and can interpret the world around us from a biblical worldview instead of listening to what the media tells us. You know, I don't want to make it sound like it's all bad. There is some good things out there. But see, an unrenewed mind can be the devil's playground of when he comes in to tries to manipulate us like a puppet. And what happens, we're getting into some other territory here, is the idea of a mind-bending spirit. A mind-bending spirit. Because this what's been released, I believe, by the enemy, is these mind-bending spirits. And these mind-bending spirits, if you look at what that means, it's talking about people who kind of see hallucinations. And what it is, I don't know if it's really talking about seeing an image, but I think it's also talking about the idea of seeing things wrong, but also hearing things wrong. The enemy has caused our worldview to be so skewed, and we start to hear things wrong when people tell us, and we maybe misunderstand. And then that misunderstanding causes us to isolate. And when we get isolate, the mind-bending spirits come in worse. And it's a vicious cycle. And that's how Satan tries to come in to get us to fall away. The falling away. You know, we can be one of the ones who win, or we can be one of the ones who lose. You know, I believe God left that in our court a little bit, what we choose to do. Now, it says there's going to be a great falling away, people. I'm not making this up. It's all over Scripture. So there's going to be some people deceived. And I don't want nobody that goes to this church to ever be deceived. Amen? I want you guys to walk in victory and to be able to be a light and to reach out to those around you. And when we get these mind-bending spirits, let's say we've allowed ourselves to get so isolated, and then the enemy really comes in, he's messing with their mind. And then what happens in that process, you know, it causes, you know, people to really think wrong, or just to really think that things ain't right. And I'd like to say they're a half a bubble out of plumb. And we've all been a half a bubble out of plumb, haven't we? For those of you without construction experience, if you have a level, you can level things with the longware. You can stand the level up and put it on the side of a wall. There's a bubble there. When it's perfect, it's in between the lines exactly. But sometimes if it's crooked or cockeyed, it's a half a bubble out of plumb. And see, a lot of believers, I believe, can get a half a bubble out of plumb. They can allow themselves to get off on tangents and start to believe things that aren't really right. And they get hooked on that and they major on that and they can't see anything else. And it gets them into trouble. Now, what happens then, the Scripture says it leads to hatred. You know, I've never experienced, and I think, like I said, a lot of it's, you know, people can, you know, do so many things on the internet and say things, and, you know, it just seems like there's so much hatred out there that, you know, people are more divided than they ever were. And what leads to that next, it says there's going to be lawlessness. Remember, we're just looking at these three scriptures or so. Then it says lawlessness is going to increase. Okay, now lawlessness is not like the Old West, where there's no sheriff in town. That's not what this word actually means in the Greek, you know. But it actually means there is a law, there is rules. People just choose to disobey it. It's really talking about rebellion. When we get into rebellion against rules. Now, I grew up in the 60s, man, you know, all the stuff, at least I was little back then. But seeing Woodstock and seeing all that crazy stuff and, you know, people just getting wild and, you know, not listening to the man and all that stuff. And then as you grow up, you are the man, right? You become that, you know. Now you're part of authority figures and you struggle. But, you know, all these things talks about the idea of lawlessness and how that does. And, you know, one of the hardest things, and many parents will probably testify to this, how do you like it when a little kid tells you that, "You're not my boss. You can't tell me what to do." Rebellion. That lawlessness. Doesn't the hair on the back of your neck just rise up. That attitude of lawlessness and rebellion against authority. Whether you be their parent, their teacher, or just, you know, an innocent bystander walking down the street and they're doing something crazy. You know? But that rebellious attitude. And what happens is then, in a culture that we live in, where everybody's really doing what's right in their own eyes, what happens is that they think that, is it really lawlessness if I don't get caught? Is it really wrong? It's not hurting anybody. Right? I'm not hurting anybody. So is it wrong? Valid question. Things that our culture is dealing with. And what happens then, because of this lawlessness, it said, is increasing. What bothers me is it says, many's love. Not just a few. Many means more than, that means more than most. You know, over 50%. It says, many's love will grow cold. And the idea of what happens is when our love grows cold, you know, if you're living in a society or a culture where there's lawlessness and rebellion and these attitudes and stuff, after a while, as a good person, I think we get the attitude that, why bother? What good can I do? I'm just one person. What can I do? So then, when we see it, when we witness what we see with our eyes, things that are going so wrong that we don't want to be reconcilers anymore. We just want to give in. Let nature take its course. Last days or lost days? Which one is it? Which one are we living in? Have we lost our way? Because what happens is that, you know, when we're surrounded by so much corruption, we can harden our heart. And see, the scripture tells us that's the main thing we have to guard. You know, you have to guard your heart first. As a parent, you know, we think, oh, I got to protect my kids. No, really, you need to protect your heart first. And if you protect your heart, you're going to save your kids. Because you're going to start thinking right. And you're going to start doing right. But we can't allow all these things to affect us because, you know, what I have witnessed in my existence as a Christian, that there's quite a few people that will let other people's failures affect their faith. They base their faith on what other people do, how strong a Christian somebody else is. You know, over the years, we've watched maybe and witnessed some big-name Christians, ministers, maybe falling or making a mistake. And then they upset the faith of many. They think, well, if they can't do it, what can I do? And they put their faith in that person. And see, that's the wrong thing to do. Our faith should never be based on other people's ability to obey God, but on our desire to live a life for Jesus. That's how we live our faith out. It's not based on what you do. Just because maybe you don't want to do it, does that mean I shouldn't? If I know it's true. And see, that's what revealed truth is to you and I. That's why we get into the Word. Because we got to live out our convictions, the things that God's called us to do. And as we do that, so then it says, the last part of this is, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Hang in there. That's what I see. Hang in there. He who endures to the end. Now, we're not going to look at the word endure too much, because a lot of times we don't like that one, right? That's a tough one. Endurance. You know, what it takes to endure through things. But what it's, to me, it's encouraging because there's a promise. There's a promise to the faithful. There's a promise to the ones who are willing to hang in there and to hold on to God, because the word saved is talking about, it's a multifaceted word to some degree, and we look at it as maybe salvation, you know, being saved from going to hell, but it's also talking about deliverance. The idea of being able to be set free from some of the problems around us. And in this last day, and statistically, you know, the church in America is, you know, declining by some standards. I don't know how they measure all them things. But there is kind of a hardness of heart, a coldness that is manifesting. And, you know, we can allow that to happen. or we can hang in there. We can choose to endure to the end. And what I think helps us to endure to the end is two words and the two P's. And they're called purpose and they're called passion. And this is how we win. If we can learn these two techniques of utilizing these things in our life, then even though, you know, people may be falling to the right or to the left, we're going to stay strong. Now, purpose is talking about why I'm here and what I'm supposed to do. Now, I believe we all need something to live for. You need something to wake you up in the morning, don't you? You know, a lot of people that retire, if they don't have a purpose in life, a lot of them, you know, go on to be with the Lord or wherever else soon because they have no reason to live for anymore. They live for their job, you know, and when they're retired, they don't go to that job anymore. So there's a lot of things that can affect us, and I'll be honest, and this is going to maybe set somebody's nose out of joint a little bit, but just living for your kids isn't good enough. And maybe that's why you wake up in the morning. But I don't want to, you know, burst your little bubble. But hypothetically, they're going to grow up and move away. They're going to move out. Amen? Some of you are saying, yeah. Right? Well, what happens if your whole focus in life was to live for your kids, and now they're gone? Now they're grown up. So you got to find out something else. Now, as I've mentioned, you know, there's two great days that you really should celebrate. One of them's your birthday until you get past 50, and then they're not a big deal, right? Your birthday's a big day. Everybody, don't you like it when people kind of remember your birthday sometimes? You know? But the next day is even, to me, more important. It's the day you find out why you were born. When you find out why you were born, that's going to give you purpose. That's going to help you to stay on track because that's the reason that you get up. Because everybody has a purpose. Now, God has put a purpose inside of everything, inside of every one of us, because, you know, nobody is here by accident. Sovereign God has a plan for your life. And He's put that plan inside of you. And He's put everything you need to fulfill that plan. All the giftings and talents are inside of you. It's up to us to find out what they are. And as we do that, you know, it's kind of like, to use a sports analogy, I know some maybe don't like those, but some of you have maybe hit a baseball or a softball before. Now, what happens if you hit it right off the skinny part of the handle? It doesn't do as good. But has anybody ever hit a ball on the sweet spot? There's a certain spot on that bat that when the ball hits that, it just flies. Just flies. Because that's the sweet spot. And once you find out what your purpose is, that's your sweet spot. Not saying you can't do other things, but you need to find your sweet spot. You need to find out what God is, what gift and talent God has given you so that you can accomplish that. And then in doing that, you need to infuse it with passion. The idea of passion. Now, passion is talking about staying on fire and about doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And what I feel is that when we stay connected to that, it's going to defeat division in our life. And what I like to see is people hooking up with other people who have the same purpose and the same passion, and they start to do Jesus together. See, that's the strength. That's the strength of a church, is when people find out why they're here and why God created them, and then they start to lock arms and they start to do it. Because staying connected brings a lot of safety. Now, I don't know about you, but I've watched a few shows. I just seen one the other day. I had turned it off. Got too much for me. But how many knows the antelope that gets cut from the herd? What the lion does to that one? Well, the Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So if we allow ourselves to be isolated, which allows us to get mind-bending spirits and get our nose out of joint, And then we can get cut from the herd and get in trouble. But see, the good news is, if we stay connected, I mean, we may not totally agree on everything, but by staying connected, we stay strong. Now, on that same show, which amazed me, it just showed these lions taking down this huge water buffalo. Well, this one lion made a mistake just a few minutes later. I know it was a different time in the show. But this big old lion tried to take down a water buffalo's calf. Well, guess what? Mama buffalo and all these other buffaloes, they were there. And this lion clumb a tree, but lions ain't known for their climbing, I guess. He could only hang in there, and so it showed him, you know, kind of slipping down the tree till finally he fell down. And then the water buffalo started to gore him. And they were just picking him up and throwing him in the air about 10 feet. He was dead. Why? Because the group stuck together and they was able to beat back the enemy. And I tell you, that was wild watching that. Because there's strength in numbers. There's strength when we stay together. Now, closing, you know, we need to be intentional in our living. And what I mean by intentional is that, you know, you and I can't let life dictate our direction. Because if you just wake up and get out of bed without some sort of a plan all the time, I mean, it's okay to chill. I'm not talking about being intense all the time. But if you just wake up and you don't have some sort of an idea what you're going, and you just let life take you where it wants to, the odds are it's going to take you down roads that aren't that good for you. That's why we need to be intentional. We need to dictate to our life what direction we want. Now, in closing, we may not be able to control what is going on around us, but we can control what is going on inside of us. Let's pray.